Brett Hollander, Backyard Sports Line here on a Thursday night. Very cool story we have to give you right now. Baltimore Orioles closer, farmhand, Chris Ray, who saved in 2006 33 games for the Orioles, had an ERA of 2.73 that year. His rookie year in 05, 2.66, pitched in the big leagues for about 6 years in professional ball, one of the Orioles' top prospects for a lot longer than that. A third round pick back in 2003 for the Orioles out of the College of William and Mary. And Chris Ray joins us now. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, this is such a cool story. I do want to talk to you, of course, about your time here in Baltimore and your post-Orioles career. We saw you come to Camden Yards recently with the Rangers back in 2010, and you moved on from the San Francisco Giants, a cup of coffee with the Mariners as well. But now in your post-baseball career, you're a beer man. You've become a brewer as your full-time occupation, right?
Yeah, my brother and I opened up Center of the Universe Brewing Company in November of 2012, and well, we've been at it for the last 15, 16 months.
And I was reading a couple of stories about it. It started kind of as a charity thing, right? And then you loved it so much, and this is something you're obviously passionate about, that you really wanted to do this when baseball, you decided to kind of hang them up in baseball.
Yeah, my brother and I, we homebrewed for about 5 years, and when I got traded out to the West Coast and saw all the different microbreweries out there, and I knew it was something that I eventually wanted to get into as a full-time career. And so the next year, when I was out in Seattle, we started a program called Hops for Heroes and teamed up with a local brewery where we produced a beer and then donated 100% of the proceeds to Operation Homefront, which helps out military families.
Very cool there. And when you say home brewing, I'm picturing, I don't know if you're familiar with the famous AMC show Breaking Bad, but the character Hank, he literally was concocting beers in his garage. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not to that scale, but, it was 5-10 gallons at a time. I brewed in my kitchen. My brother brewed in his garage. And, it was a hobby for us at the time, and we really enjoyed it. And you can kind of think of it as cooking, where there's just so many different things you can put in a beer, so many different types of grain, yeast, hops, that we fell in love with it. It kind of poked at our creative side a little bit.
It's interesting. We all were in college once upon a time, or many of us, I should say, and we all went through the litany of traditional American light beers, and we all have our favorites once upon a time. I think there's always a point where, those beers are always there for you, and maybe even there for us more than we want, but some of us advance in our palate. When did you start advancing in your palate?
I think it was probably shortly after I got drafted. That at that point, I had a job, so I could afford a little bit more than a $4 12-pack. So I started branching out a little bit, and I think that's where it kind of started. And then once a friend of mine came over and taught me how to homebrew, it just kind of skyrocketed from there. But, I think one of the biggest things with transitioning from, your light lager to craft beer is definitely the price point. I mean, it's more expensive, and so you can't really expect college students to go out there and spend that kind of money. It's more of a quantity over quality thing at that point in life.
Fair enough. And also the objective in college is slightly different. Chris Ray, former Orioles closer, with us here on BAL. And again, this is such a cool story. Post-baseball career, just 32 years old for Chris Ray, has now become a brewer. And it's an interesting time, Chris, to get into this realm. Microbrews or craft beers, what do you prefer there? What's the proper and correct term for what you do?
Well, I guess technically we're a craft brewery. That's what the Brewers Association kind of tells us we are. We're all more on the micro craft brewery. So, we're small. We're still only in Central Virginia right now, as opposed to some of your larger craft breweries like Sam Adams, Sierra Nevada. So maybe a micro craft brewery would be the best terminology to use.
It is a great time to be alive, and I'm not saying this lightly, if you love beer. The options, the seasonals, the variety that's out there, it's so competitive right now. It's a crowded field. This is all kind of cropped up. I mean, once upon a time, Sam Adams would have, their seasonal, and they'd be the only winter lager. And now you walk into any liquor store or beer market, you're going to have 20 options just for a winter lager.
Yeah, it's definitely grown, especially on the East Coast recently. We're, starting to creep up and catch up to the West Coast. But All in all, I mean, craft beer was still sitting at 8-9% market share as compared to beer on a whole. So, I mean, there's still a ton of room out there for craft beer. It's just, you know, spreading the word about it. You know, not necessarily spreading your brewery, but getting people to drink the local stuff, the smaller scale.
Yeah, I love the neighborhood beers that are out there. I mean, that is really what it's about. It kind of reflects in every community. There are a bunch here in Baltimore that have cropped up in recent months. And how do you try and separate yourself from the competition?
Well, you know, at first, you know, you kind of need to let your beer speak for itself. But our philosophy is, we're not trying to get huge. You know, if we end up getting really big, that's great. But we're starting small. We're staying in our home market as long as we can. You know, there's always different people that we can reach with different beers. And you know, I think the idea of national craft breweries are going to start shrinking. You know, people just want the stuff that's brewed in their backyard now. And, you know, I don't think it's a great plan for new breweries to have your site set so large and instead just concentrate on really feeding your community and getting that base before you start branching out.
All right, fair enough. State of the neighborhood, you're just a few miles down the road from us here in Baltimore. Could you see yourself venturing up here if things go well and you guys are still very young? What, this whole thing is about a year and a half old at this point, 2 years old. Could you see yourself venturing up a little bit more towards the Mid-Atlantic region?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can see us as more of a regional brewery eventually. You know, I think the right move would be, you know, venturing north to D.C. and then up into Baltimore. You know, we're still a few years away from that. We've already gone through two expansions at the brewery, and we still can't get out of our home market. And you know, it goes back to what I said. We're going to keep pushing the beer here until we kind of fill it up, and then we'll take it further. And the last thing we want to do is not be able to have accounts here, you know, have their taps run dry. That goes against our whole thinking. You know, we want to make sure that we take care of our home market and then boost up, but definitely want to get into Baltimore at some point.
That sounds really good to us. What about possible delivery services, Chris? Where are you on that? We want to be official taste testers here.
Just grab a U-Haul, drive on down.
We'll do that, by the way. Also, you know, a couple years ago for a birthday present, I got a Beer of the Month Club thing, which was awesome. They'd send you just a bunch of random beers from different neighborhoods throughout the country, and it comes with a little synopsis of that beer. That's kind of a cool way to get out there. Have you looked at any of that? I know the Wine of the Month thing was big for a long time. I think it still is.
Yeah, there are a couple services that are online-based where if you don't have a distribution contract in a certain area, then they're able to kind of ship your beer out everywhere. One drawback is they charge a pretty good premium on that beer.
Wow.
You know, instead of a $8-$9 six-pack, you're looking at $13, $14, $15, which can kind of turn some people off, but there's definitely ways to get the beer out there without actually distributing. But, you know, I think we're still a little bit of ways off from there.
Former Oriole Chris Ray with us for a few more minutes here on BAL. I'm having a great time with Chris about his new venture into beer making. And, Chris, William & Mary is a great school. Obviously, baseball took up a lot of your time. I can't imagine, at least on paper, they allow beer making as a major there. But what was your major in college?
I was an economics major.
Oh, there you have it. Yeah.
So that it helps a little bit. Once we open a brewery, we no longer brew. our job is to kind of sell the beer, come up with new things, marketing. We have a head brewer, but having that education from William Mary definitely helps. It also helps, you know, the profession of playing baseball. One thing with playing baseball is that you can't ever stop trying to get better. And I think as a manufacturer, I think having that drive kind of instilled into me is helping us a lot.
Interesting. How many employees do you have right now?
I think right now we've got, I want to say 13.
Wow.
13 employees. So we've got five that work in the back, and then we've got eight that server and tasting room manager.
I do. I do want to ask you about your baseball career coming up, but can we go through some of these beers that you have before we get there? I love this one, Ray Ray's Pale Ale. And obviously, that's your last name, but it strikes to, I think, also your time in Baltimore with Ray Lewis. I don't know if that's what came to mind. That used to be Ray Lewis's nickname, right? Ray Ray, they still call him that. So you have Ray Ray's Pale Ale. You have Main Street Virginia Ale. And then what's the IPA called?
Pocahontas.
What's your favorite of those three year-rounders?
I'm a hop head myself, so I enjoy Pocahontas the most. But I like Ray Ray's as well.
And then you guys are already into the seasonals, right?
Right. So we, our first year that we were open, we were doing more of a one-off. So we would brew it one time, kind of see how it did. And now we're transitioning more into the 3 and 4 month seasonal. So our first one was El Deuterino, which is a white Russian milk stout.
Wow. A white Russian stout. That's incredible sounding.
Yeah, it's you know, we're huge Big Lebowski fans of the brewery, and it kind of inspired us to brew a beer with a white Russian in mind. So we use about 8 different malts, and then we age it on whole vanilla beans, and you know, we took a swing at it, and it worked. It's really good.
Top 5 coolest things I've ever heard on this program was we're Big Lebowski fans, so that's why we're incorporating white Russians into our beer. That's amazing, and we always hear. You know, Sam Adams, I got to be careful here with sponsorships and everything else, but we always hear about these blind taste tests in the beer business. Is that real, Chris? And do you ever give your beer up to something like that to create a buzz and to promote your brand?
Yeah, there's a couple different sites out there. There's like Rate Beer and Beer Advocate and things like that. And, you know, we usually don't actively send the beers out, but every once in a while, some will get rated. And you know, in the craft industry especially, it's a lot of these beers, it's all about the buzz. I mean, if you have a beer that's super highly rated, all of a sudden it becomes the must-have, can't-get beer, and, you know, it drives the sales of your other beers. And so obviously those are important. You know, we don't technically go after them, but if someone wants to give us a good score, we'll take it.
Well, we're talking about two of my favorite topics here, baseball and beer, and Chris, I guess this is where the rubber meets the road for you. In 05, you come up to the big leagues. You are a hotshot prospect. You have a great year in 05 for Baltimore. You're 23. As a 24-year-old, you assume the full-time closing duties for the Orioles. You save 33 games, good hits numbers, good strikeout numbers. And then 07, the numbers start getting worse. And then, of course, health-wise, it never really was the same after that, was it?
Right, yeah. I mean, after I had Tommy John surgery, it was really just my, you know, the rest of my career was my shoulder trying to catch up. You know, I would go on some good stretches. Obviously, 09 was absolutely miserable. but I finished the year out pretty well. But yeah, it was always kind of laboring with my shoulder. And I was just fortunate enough to be able to find something that I was so passionate about that, you know, had sustainability like beer. You know, looking at it from the outside now, I couldn't imagine. I mean, there's so many baseball players out there that, you know, their careers get cut short and all of a sudden they don't know what to do. So that's, you know, I was fortunate and unfortunate. You know, my career was cut short, but at the same time, I fell into something that I love.
And for you, looking at what you do professionally now, and maybe it's not comparable at all, but looking at what you do professionally now to striking out Derek Jeter in the Bronx or at Camden Yards. Can you compare those two things at all?
Well, I mean, I guess in a roundabout way, you can kind of compare it. You know, we're making beer, and, you know, people love to judge beer, and you put a new beer out there, you're putting it out on the line, and if it doesn't do well, then kind of like giving it up in the ninth, I guess. I mean, not as dramatic as that, obviously. I mean, you definitely don't get the same adrenaline going out there and, you know, tasting people on beer as I did pitching. But, yeah, I still have a great time doing it.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Chris. Are you an Orioles fan now? Would you describe yourself as? You're not too far away. You can get the games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in, what was it? Not this past year, before.
2012, yeah.
Yeah, it was the first time I've ever really watched and rooted for a team in the playoffs. I was so happy for those guys. I mean, I knew a lot of them, and, you know, the years I was there, we weren't very good. And I know, you know, playing with San Francisco and Texas, how much fun it is to play on a winning team. And I was so happy. And obviously now I follow those guys all the time.
Well, if we ever see you at Camden Yards, that would be quite the thrill. If you ever come up to Baltimore, please let us know, and then we might come down with that U-Haul and take some of that beer of yours.
Yeah, we'll just sell on the side of the road. Nothing wrong with that, right?
Nothing wrong with that. Chris Ray, the former Orioles closer, farmhand, and now beer master. Chris, let's stay in touch. That was really fun.
All right, thanks for having me.
That is Chris Ray. What a cool story. Beer and baseball, you can't beat that. It almost warms you up on this very cold, cold night here in January in Baltimore. We'll come back with more next.